Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
Man, how many have read that there's some fantastic, amazing moves happening, moves of God throughout, really throughout the world, but North America? How many have read that? Raise your hand if you've seen that via Facebook or the news. And one of the main ones started in Asbury in Kentucky. And they've been going, I think this will be their 11th. Or 12th. Anybody know if it's 11th? It's quite a few days. They've been worshiping nonstop, 24 hours a day. Pretty awesome. And here, this is the best news, though, because there's something about when God begins to move, and it's really, he's moving among the young adults there, because it's a university. It's a Christian university that has had, at different times, moves of God. This may actually end up being one of the longest they've had of straight worship. And so people find out about it, of course, and they want to go. And but I love this. I was watching last night, and many of you know Tom Crandall. He had posted something, and I guess Fox News grabbed a hold of it and brought the student president on, I believe it was, and they talked to her just to try to figure out what was going on and understand it. And after they talked with her, they were just blessed by it and amazed, and they thought, wow, it would be really cool to go down there to understand this more. Let's take the Fox team and go down there. I love this. But this is not what you expect. The president of the university called and said, hey, we so appreciate you. Thank you for the offer, but we're going to ask you not to come because we want to protect this. We don't need it. We don't need it. It's already broadcast. You don't need a broadcast. We don't need a voice. We don't need just, we want to keep this with what God's doing. And the really cool part was the announcer came back and said, this is what we are going to do. But he actually says, sometimes things are just so special, it's best that we don't get involved. And I thought, yay on both parties to honor that. Isn't that great? So good, because you could get in there and then, because they didn't want it to be a political thing, because, you know, obviously Fox News can be very political based on your bent. And he thought, we just, you know, just bringing them into our area could cause people not to want to come anymore. And they just didn't want any of that. I thought, yes, that's what we need to see right now. And they are trying to protect it and put some boundaries around it because they really believe this is a powerful move among the young adults. It is happening elsewhere as people are hungry. And so I say that because I want to encourage you. This Friday just happens to be our encounter night. And it really does take hungry people to pull on God to see him come. God will come. In this instance, in Asbury, he came spontaneously. It was a very unexpected thing. They were having chapel service. If I'm understanding correctly, one of the kids got up and just basically shared some struggles in his life. And from there, God began to move. And it hasn't stopped. That's a sovereign move of God. But God also moves in hunger. When people come and go, God, we need you. We want you. And so would you join us this Friday and just pull on God? And pull on God means that you come and you worship with us. You engage with us. You just go after it, all right? Good? Will you join us? Mark your calendars. Don't forget. Awesome. All right. Sean, would you mind just grabbing that board and sliding it all over? We're going to, let's see if I have any other announcements, but I think that's it. The sound of joy is in the house. The sound of joy. I'd rather have that than morning any day. Right? Amen. Okay, so this is our last Sunday for resilience. This is, it's test day, by the way. Did you guys know?
No.
You didn't get the memo?
No.
Oh, I forgot to send it out. You could do it this way. Everybody likes surprise tests, right? What we're going to do is we're going to have some fun, but I need your help today because I want to wrap this up. I want to kind of bring it all together. We've been talking about this topic of resilience. The easiest way to define resilience is the ability, if you get knocked down, the ability to get back up. Raise your hand if you've ever been knocked down in life. No, keep your hands up. I'm trying to find the one that hasn't so we can have you pray for us. Now it's unanimous. So we've all been knocked down. Now, how many would say there's been times, right, that you've been knocked down and it took you a lot longer to get up than you would have liked? And how many have times that you got back up quicker than you thought? Right, we kind of have those. The goal is, though, is to learn how to be resilient because we looked at the scripture that says offenses will come. Tribulations will come. This is Jesus, the Son of God, saying, hey, get ready, they will come. So it doesn't matter where you live, the best place in the world, the best family, how many know offenses and tribulations and trials and struggles will come. It is a part of life. It's a part of a world. It's part of a fallen world. It's the world that we live in. But what I want to read today, and then we're going to launch off of this, I've tried to keep this as much scriptural as possible, but it's interesting. I read this today, went back through my notes, and I had written this down from American Psychology Today publication, and they said this. The good news is resilience can be learned. I just thought it's good. They said the good news. Let's just go with the good news, right? Okay, it says the good news is resilience can be learned. It involves, and this is what I want you to get, it involves developing thoughts, behaviors, and actions that allow you to recover from traumatic or stressful events. So there's good news in the good news. The good news is that anybody can learn resilience. Some people are born more resilient than others to begin with, but everyone can learn resilience. And the point of this whole message is that we have come through a season, and we will go through other seasons, whether corporately or individually, that we will have to learn how to bounce back. The telltale sign was that we went through 2 years and people had a hard time bouncing back. And a collective world went, whoa, we're not resilient anymore. What has happened? And part of that has been we've been blessed. We've been in a society where we haven't gone to war as much. We've had all these things from running water and warm showers. It's just made us a little soft. But how many know you can get spiritually soft too, right? Come on, we show up every day. Those are really comfy chairs. Do you remember the days of hard pews? We used to go, those pews, they're so religious. We said that because we didn't like how hard they were on our tushes. We're like, we need comfy chairs. But we've been blessed. We have wonderful worship teams. We can get music from all over the world. We're blessed. But what this is saying is that when you go through a tough time, you can learn resilience. And what I want to look at today is all the scriptures plus more, because you're going to add to it, of things that we should be learning. And some of you have already learned. Karen, thank you again for sharing your testimony. There's been so many wonderful things shared on resilience. But let's start for a second. You wonder why there's a brain and a heart up there. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs, please. We looked at this scripture last week, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. We're going to look at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. I want to always go back to the fact that they said there are three things that you can do to get resilience to grow. Thoughts, behaviors, and actions. Thoughts, behaviors, and actions. They're there. I could really use a good printer today with good spelling. What did Steve just get done saying about those putts and things that you do well, you know? Who's a good... Becca, bless your heart. You look like a teacher. Okay. With really good nails. If you could just write Proverbs 4 right between the brain and the heart. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 23 says, this is the New Living Translation. King James is similar. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. How many parents, when you tell your kids that, you really expect them to pay attention? Hey, pay attention. If you're just kind of like, but you're like, kids, pay attention. This is important. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Here we go. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Once you put up the Passion Translation there, we'll read it together. It's coming up. It says, listen carefully, my dear children, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. From there flows the wellsprings of life. That's a packed scripture verse. But what do you notice in there? Tell me some words that stand out to you. Yell them out. Pay attention. All right. What else? Guard. What else? Impartation. Where's that at? Impart. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Affections.
Fill. My words. What'd you say, Shane? Health. Awesome. Wellsprings. Anything else that really draws attention? To listen. Awesome, to penetrate. Isn't that great? To penetrate deep. And then it says into the very core. You know, I think of the core of the earth. To get to the core of the earth, you got to penetrate deep. This literally is the recipe of resilience. And we're gonna talk through it and add some things to it. But this is one of the greatest pieces of resilience. And I love the fact that the American Psychological Association said, man, there are things you can do with your thoughts. And if I look here, it says, fill your thoughts. It says behaviors and actions. There are things that you do as a Christian every day that gets you ready to face trials and tribulations. And there are things that we should do that sometimes we don't do, we forget. And so I wanna dive through these. And what I wanna do, I haven't written them on the back, and you can take a second for me now. I wrote supernatural on this side, and on this side I wanna write natural and the same things, thoughts, behaviors, and actions. Because how many know that there are things you can do on a regular basis for the natural self, and there are things you can do on the regular basis for your spiritual self, supernatural self, right? Okay, while she's writing, let's just have some fun real quick here. What are some natural things, thoughts, behaviors, and then actions? Let me define this for you. Thoughts, that's easy. Thoughts are mindsets. What do you think every day? Behaviors, I want you to think of things that you do on a regular basis, those habits that you do. And actions, I want you to think of as something that you need to do in that moment. It's an action for that moment, okay? Mindsets, behaviors or habits, things you do every day, and actions. What are things that you think you can do in the natural to build resilience in your life, to be strong as a person for when things come? Name some. That's gonna be spiritual. We're gonna go natural. You're getting ahead of yourself, but that's good. Exercise. What's that? Make your bed. Have you read the book? It's a good book. There's a book out there called Make Your Bed. It's this simple strategy that when you do something right off the bat when you get up, like make your bed, your whole day begins to follow suit with being in order. It's a great book.
Eat healthy.
Okay, so let's put behaviors, make your bed. Eat healthy. Why eat healthy? It's good for you. We could go into a whole study that. We're just gonna write a few things down. Eat healthy. Did you know that when you eat, you affect your hormones, you affect all the nutrients in your body, what you put in affects your brain, all that, right? Okay, so these are behaviors.
Exercise,
great one. What's that?
Sleep.
Oh my goodness, how many are, maybe it's just my feed, but has anybody seen a whole lot more sleep studies and sleep news lately? There's a new mom that loves sleep, right? But it's true. I thought maybe this is just my news feed, but people, they are discovering how incredible. There's a whole science that they're now discovering of what actually happens when you sleep. And it is a God-ordained thing that you need to put your life in order. It's not like something that maybe I should do it or shouldn't. They say with one day lack of sleep, you drive around like you're drunk and you don't even know it. Reaction time and all that. So sleep, very important. And anything in the thoughts or actions category, thoughts that in the natural?
Positive self-talk.
We know that psychology is beginning to confirm the Bible. What you speak over yourself, as a man thinks, so he is. Positive self-talk. Anything else? Let me throw in what you watch, right? You feel yourself, so what you watch? Yeah, under thoughts, yeah. What you listen to, absolutely. What you listen to. If you listen or watch the news 24 hours a day, do you think you'll come out of your room joyful? Probably not. If you listen to things that are discouraging, are and there's this thing, you know, sometimes you like, oh, I relate to it. But if you listen to so much of it, it just reinforces, doesn't relate. Just keeps telling you what you think you are or need to do. Actions, let's leave actions for right now. Okay, that's just some natural things. But what I want to do, there are so many things that we do on a regular basis, again, to build resilience. I wrote the heart, I put the heart and the mind up there because it's interesting. Proverbs talks about putting your thoughts, it's interesting, in your heart. Taking your thoughts, God thoughts, and putting them in your heart. And it's interesting, in the Jewish culture, the heart and mind are intertwined. And they really are, aren't they? Because what you think, what does a heart attack come from, could come from? Obviously, you know, it's diet. Stress. Where do you often, you think stress in your mind that affects your heart? So often if we could stop those thoughts, how many have ever woken up at 2 a.m. talking about sleep, and you woke up at 2 a.m, not with joyful thoughts, but with thoughts of dread because of something that's about to come, and then you can't find sleep. All these things begin to affect you. So resilience, part of resilience is finding a way through that. So understanding the Jewish culture, heart and mind are intimately connected. Now turn to your Bibles for a second to 1 Samuel. We are going to finish off with why we are here. I'll tell you the scripture as soon as I find it. 1 Samuel, find your way. That's what I'm looking for. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. If you remember the story that we spoke on, we're not going to go through it, but we talked about David. We talked about David got to the worst point in his life because everybody he knew had betrayed him or disowned him. And here he is, a moment where he was going to go fight even for his enemies. They didn't want him. His own country didn't want him. So he comes back. And while he was away with his army, his town was invaded. His children were all taken. And he comes back. It's the worst moment of his life. Enemies don't want him. His own people don't want him. His wives, children, all the townspeople have been taken. And the very people, those rough people that he formed into an army, nobody else wanted him in society. He pulled them close. He trained them. It said that they wanted to kill him. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, "Now David was greatly distressed." And this is David that has gone through a lot already. So you know it's bad if he's greatly distressed. "For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Now here it is. This is basically what we've been talking and building towards. "But David strengthened himself in his God." And if you know the story, he basically gets back up after that moment. It's not a moment. I believe it was some time. He strengthens himself in the Lord. He gets back up, right? You get knocked down. He gets back up and he inquires of the Lord. And the Lord says, "Go and now overtake the army. You will capture them." So how does a man go from somebody that's completely knocked down, completely disowned, completely disheartened, feels terrible about himself and about all that's happened. And he literally gets back up after strengthening himself in the Lord and says, "All right, let's do it." They go, they overtake the army. They overtook the army. They get their wives back, children back, and this is shortly before he becomes king.
Here you go, Rod.
How do you go from that? This is the thing. How do you go from that moment, and it says he strengthened himself in the Lord? What does that look like? What is that? You know, it's like one line, but yet that's key for everything. I know you strengthened yourself in the Lord when you were in Ghana and Dad was in the hospital. How many have ever had a moment where you know that you had to strengthen yourself in the Lord? I'm talking about a moment beyond moments. For some, it might have been like, "I have an hour to do this because I have something right there I have to do." For others, it could have been a season where you daily had to strengthen yourself. But I'm telling you, as Christians, we have incredible tools given to us to be able to climb over insurmountable walls. But what are they? We've looked at a lot of these already. What I'd like you to do, just now, let's do it to the scriptures. Okay, I was going to have you yell them out, and then we're going to go over them, but we won't do that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. We looked at this. We're going to start with the spiritual. I believe I have a screen up there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16. Do I have one of those, Luke? There we go. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Study that for a second. What are the keys in there? Karen, you know what I loved? And I've actually heard a couple of people say it recently, that I love the fact that you gave yourself an allotted amount of time to grieve. She had a timer. How many have went and bought a timer? Do we like sell out of the timers at the dollar store? But I love the fact that she didn't push away the fact that she needed to, but she put a timer on and had to come out of that season. How to come out of that moment. And there are things here. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. There are two right there. Another way to say it, that is the NLT. Another way to say it is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. The Passion Translation says, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. One of the greatest things you can begin to do, we could flip this board and go natural, but one of the things that people do is called gratitude, right? How many have ever heard of a gratitude journal? I'm amazed that this is all biblical stuff. Did you know that? Positive self-talk is biblical. Gratitude journal, biblical. Taking control of your thoughts, biblical. What else do they have? Mindfulness, true mindfulness is meditating in the Lord, which is biblical. The world is trying to find a way to do it without God. Wouldn't it be a lot smarter to just put God back into it? It's like buying a really nice car without the fuel, right? So I want to draw your attention back to Proverbs. We're doing this because we have to find a way to guard our mind and our hearts. So how do you guard your mind and your hearts to build resilience? Well, the first thing we know is, it says, always be joyful, or I like the way as well, the King James, rejoice always. Can you put that down under behaviors? Rejoice always. How many have learned the art of rejoicing always? Honestly, I'm not saying like all the time, but like, you know, when you have a hard time that you're like, I'm gonna rejoice no matter what. Raise your hand. That is a resilient key, a resiliency key. This is a perfect example. When we come into worship, young people, listen. Worship is not about us. And I think a lot of times the world has created it where, like, do I feel this song right now? Like, is it moving me? But how many know worship is nothing about us? Worship is stepping into, I'm here to thank God. You know, we sing that song, I thank God. We did it today. You know, Shane picked the songs. We praise you. Let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. What else does it say? Let praise be the weapon that calms the storm inside of me. It's funny that when you step in and you go, you know what, I'm going to worship, God does something else and gives us peace back. All the time. But so often we want to go, when I feel peace, I'm going to worship. And God says, no, worship, and then you'll feel peace. It's part of resilience. It's the greatest thing we can learn to go, okay, I don't feel it right now. I often go back to the day when I was going through that just horrific season of my life. And because of the different medication I was on, my hands were shaking. And so I'm like, I have to make a choice right now if I'm going to worship you or not. And I remember being embarrassed, like shocked. I thought, can I do this? And I'm up there in my hands, I could feel them shaking. I wish it was the Holy Spirit. He gets happy feet. I wish I could say these were happy hands. These were neurologically having problem hands. But I had to make a choice and go, will I worship right now, no matter what? And that's why it says, this is Paul often writing in prisons. Hey, always be joyful. Rejoice always. Never stop praying. Okay, so we got rejoice always. There are some other ones that go so well along with that, just for sake of the time. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us and develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. We talked about that because we rejoice knowing that God's doing something in us, right? Tough times, God's doing something in us. What's the second thing we learn up there? So we got rejoice. Second thing, never stop praying. Like, does he mean never, that you can't do anything else in life? Somewhat. How many know that when you are in a moment where you need to get back up, prayer is a good thing? You've been having wonderful times of prayer, right? When you sit before the Lord and you begin to pour out your heart to the Lord and begin to go, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know you are with me, right? And you begin to build that strength. There's a muscle that you begin to build inside of you. So pray without ceasing. Here we go. Here's another one. We just said it. Be thankful in all circumstances. Go ahead and write that down. I prayed that over Betty today. Just a season of wow coming into her life. But I think we all need a season of wow, where we stop and we begin to go, I'm so grateful for all that I have. In those moments when it's so tough, I think one of the greatest things we can do is step back and go, I'm so grateful for all that we have. I'm so grateful that I have heat. I'm so grateful that I have water. I'm so grateful that I have kids. I'm so grateful. And how many know that that begins to shift you out of where you're at? Amen. It begins to shift you out of what I don't have into what I do have. Be thankful in all circumstances for God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. So we could also put thankfulness into our thoughts. Maybe write that there. What I want to take a second based on time. What are actions? This is the part for you. What are actions that are needed when you need resilience and everything is falling apart? What is an action? Smile. Get on your knees. You can write some of these down. Get into the word. We're going to go to thoughts with that. Declarations. Sing. Pray in tongues. There are so many. This is awesome. You got to give her a second. Actually, let's just let her write for a second. She's fire. Smile. Get on your knees. Sing. Pray in tongues. What do we miss that's already been said? Declarations. So hold on. See, it's so much more fun watching you do this than me. Get into the word, laugh, be helpful. This is why I thought you guys should do this. Way better stuff than me. I want you to put declarations on the thought side for a second, if you could. And get into the word on the thought side. I'm going to give you another one. For the actions. What about forgive? What about repent? It is, yeah. She's just saying that's what's happening in Asbury. I think those two I've been thinking of. Because in a lot of times when you're in a moment of crisis, there's usually somebody that you either have to forgive or something that you have to repent of. Not always. Obviously, you know, I'm thinking of my mom in Africa. There's nobody you needed to forgive or repent. You couldn't be angry at dad for having a botched surgery. But how many know if you lose your job unexpectedly, there's probably going to be somebody you're going to need to forgive? How many know you're going to need resilience in that moment? But for you to get through, you're going to have to forgive somebody, your boss. Or maybe you're fired because you did something and you're going to have to both forgive and ask for forgiveness, right? So a lot of times we want to move to these things, but sometimes we need to also start here. And I think there's a, again, the internet's such a ridiculous, crazy thing because it reveals our hearts to the world. I'm amazed that the body of Christ right now is devouring itself. It doesn't matter what it's for. You know, whether it's a revival that's happening and people want to criticize it, or simply, I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl and there was, I think, two commercials that came on. And I'm trying to remember the, He Knows Us, I think it is. He Gets Us. I couldn't believe, Krista told me about it, then I came across it myself, this argument that was happening. And people are like, we're just thankful that the name of Jesus was declared on the Super Bowl. Oh, don't you know what they stand for? And they're trying to lure people. I'm like, are you kidding me? Can't we just celebrate without always thinking there's another ulterior motive? Because the bottom line is, I don't know about the organization, but that's the first time in a Super Bowl I saw the name Jesus on a commercial. The argument was, well, he knows us. That's not right to say because we're full of sin. I'm like, yeah, right, because he knows us. He kind of does know us, and he wants to set us free. Anyway, so I find myself having to forgive a lot right now, or else I'm going to. Remember last week we talked about we end up in places we shouldn't be? You know, when I, then I. We shouldn't have to be in that place where we're needing to encourage ourselves. Forgiveness gets us out of there real quick. Because if you dwell on something over and over and over again, you will find yourself needing resilience. Stop it at the front door by going, Lord, I just forgive and I bless them. I'm not going to ponder it over and over again. I'm not going to let that get into my thoughts. I'm going to let your thoughts get into my thoughts. I'm not going to let this get into my thoughts. So I'm going to forgive right away and move on. Or I'm going to repent right away. I'm just going to get this right away. I'm not going to dwell on it and make myself feel stupid and bad because that's not the Lord anyway. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to repent. And then I'm going to get back into God thoughts. That term, I didn't know it until probably about 4 years ago. I didn't know what the term rumination meant. You know what to ruminate means? Like they often talk about it like a cow where you just chew on something over and over again. Ruminate in your mind is to think about a thought over and over and over again. So the world, the negative is you ruminate on something. I'm going to do terrible on my test. Oh my gosh, I'm going to do terrible on my test. What if I do terrible on my test? Is that going to help you do wonderful on your test? Now, if you start over here and you go, I have a test and it's going to be really hard, that's a good thing. But if you're on the night before and you haven't studied and you're like, I have a really hard test, I'm going to do terrible on my test, like you're past that moment, right? But it starts with, this is a hard test, so I'm going to give it my all and I'm going to study really hard. But ruminate is to do it in the world's way you think about it over and over and over and over again. But here's the cool thing. You know what ruminate is in the Bible? Meditate. Where you take God's word and you think about it over and over and over again. That's what Proverbs is saying. Get this stuff into your heart because if you can get that thought into your heart and into your mind, it'll actually be resilience to keep you from going down a path that you can't get back up again from. Like when troubles are hitting you right now, one of the things I have had to do is I have to get into scripture and remind myself, God is good. Karen talked about it. We could say it, we could sing it, we could do all these different things, but I'll tell you, when you're faced with something, like Karen, I love when I talk with Karen because she's like, I know that I know that I know. We could all say that we know until we've been through something that makes us go, do I really believe? And now when I listen to Karen, I'm like, she knows that she knows. Why? Because she meditated on it. It went deep into her heart and to her mind that you can't convince her otherwise. And every one of us have things that you have meditated on that you're like, you can't convince me otherwise. And then we have other things that are kind of sitting and we're like, well, I do believe in it. But when it gets shaken, you're like, oh, do I really believe in this? Then you got to go back and meditate a little more and get that into you until you finally go, no, I believe this. I believe this. And we're living in a world right now where kind of everything's being shaken. But I want to encourage you, forgive, repent, and get back into God's thoughts. Forgive, repent, get back into God's thoughts. Because I'm finding myself right now getting frustrated, and I have to go, no, I'm not going down that path. I forgive whoever's offended me. I had a moment recently, just again, took me a couple hours. I was so, maybe not even a couple hours. I think it took me into the next day. I was so frustrated. I'm like, how can this be? Krista gave me some words of wisdom. And I had to go before the Lord. And Lord, I forgive. This drives me crazy. I don't understand, but I forgive. And I got to give it to you. Because all I'm doing is like the Lord never backs away from us. If this is God on the throne, he's never like, oh, I'm getting out of here. It's always us with our thoughts that begin to make us back away. And before you know it, we're like over here because we're frustrated and we're further away instead of going, Lord, I don't get it. But I forgive, I repent, and I'm right here with you. And that's the position we need to keep. I forgive, I repent, I'm right here with you. Please, I got to hold on. Amen. Anything else come to mind with actions? I love these. To sing. Why? When we sing, we are singing the words of God, which get into our thoughts and eventually get into our behaviors. Most of what we sing in the church are actually based in the word of God. And when we sing it, it actually gets into our thoughts. And most of them have to do with thankfulness, and most of them have to do with declarations. So we're like covering a whole lot all at once when we sing. But listen, can I tell you something? Somebody else can't worship for you. Somebody can't be a worshiper for you. A worship team is worshiping for them. They are corporately helping us get into worship, but your worship has to come from you. For some of you, you're like, I don't have a good voice. That's great. Clap, raise your hands, and kind of mouth it. Just whisper it. You want to dance? You want to come up and dance? I know what you're saying. I'm just having fun. Dancing, yes. But isn't it true, though, that you have to worship for you? Man, I would love it if Krista could worship my problems away. That would be so easy and great. Krista, you need to worship again. But I'll tell you what she has done in times. She's done this. All right, let's worship together. I remember a moment, one of my darkest moments in that season. I remember my kids gathering around. I started to play the song in our Thrive group the other day because it's like if I hear that song, it takes me right back to that moment. Because I was not able to, but they were able to with me. I remember all the kids sitting around, it's like I have 40, all the kids, I have three, all the three kids, and my wife, Krista, just sitting around and praying over me. And it's funny, a moment that was terrible, I look back now and I weep because it was beautiful. Because there are moments in resilience, you need somebody else to come alongside to be helpful, to get into the word with thankfulness and declarations so they can get into your thoughts. You need people to come alongside and be rejoicing with you and pray with you. But these are the tools. Dancing when you don't feel like dancing, because that's a form of worship. Read Psalms. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Do you think they're doing that when they've won? When you won, it's easy. It's to shout when you haven't won yet. It's to worship when you haven't won the battle yet. That's the hard part. To sing, to pray in tongues, you know, and maybe you've never had the evidence of tongues, but I'll tell you, you just begin to go, Holy Spirit, pray inside of me right now because I need you. I'd love for it to come out, but I'm just reaching into you, Holy Spirit. Help me in this moment. We already have declarations getting into the word laugh. Oh my gosh. Can I give, this is, here. We're going to flip this. And you're gonna write across the back, the whole thing, sorry, laugh. I'm gonna give you guys some really helpful advice right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to laugh. and have fun. You know, an interesting thing happened. I'm going to get ready to close. Interesting thing happened at our Thrive group. I don't know how many are in a Thrive group, and do you remember the question that said, when is the last time you had fun and who was it with? Right? You guys, raise your hand if you remember that question. This is a test to see how many are doing the Thrive curriculum. In our group, we were doing that, and it was funny because we kind of joked around, and somebody went, is this before I got saved or after? But it was like the Lord woke me up and said, it's really interesting as Christians that we could forget to have fun, and we only know how to do it before we got saved. I talked to somebody recently, a dear friend, haven't talked to in a while, and we got talking on this conversation. It's probably been about 4 years since I talked with him. He's a minister. It's Gary Osborne. That's who it is. I'm like, why don't I just tell him? We were talking about this very thing, and he said, Jay, don't wait as long as I did to remember to have fun. Because our life is so serious that when we live in that all the time, it's like we always have to have resilience on. And eventually, it's like a button that fades. It's like, you know, pushing the turbo charge, but you get to a point, there's no charge left. And if you don't have fun, all these things recharge it, but I'm telling you, God made something called laughter. And I'm finding, I'm having to go places and, you know, even with dear friends where we'd get together and because of the scenario of life in the world, it would be easy for us to flow into difficult conversations of what's going on and this and that. And finally, the other day we said, nothing about this tonight. Like we got in the car and we said, we are only talking about fun things. And it's amazing how many times we'd have to go, nope. Because we always want to naturally flow into that. And we had a great time. But you need to put boundaries in your life and begin to go, okay, tonight, we're laughing. I don't want to hear about all, we talk about all the negative all the time. We talk about all the hard stuff. Tonight, we're laughing. I would love for you guys to make Sabbath laughter night. Why not where we begin to go, you know what, on Sabbath, we live 6 days a week with all that problem, all those problems. Why not on the seventh day for Sabbath, when we take a break, let's take a break from our problems too. Thinking about it a whole nother day is probably not going to change it. But laughing and getting refreshed the next day, that problem may look a whole lot different. You actually may wake up and have an answer to that problem. And most of the problems we talk about, we can't fix anyway. Most of the problems that tear us down are problems that we can't. Like, you could talk about the government all day long. How many know talking about the government and all its problems do not change the government and all its problems? It's so frustrating. I get it. I've watched things. I wish things were different. But I have learned by me yelling at YouTube videos, I've had moments. I've honestly, can you just answer the question? Anyway. You know what's funny? YouTube does not have a pulse. The person that made the comment cannot hear me. The only blood pressure that's rising is mine. It doesn't help. So I would encourage you to laugh. I'd also encourage you, because we talked about a lot of the spiritual things, I would encourage you to find ways to have fun again. I'm gonna play pickleball with Len. Because my therapist told me I had to. Len is not my therapist, just so we're making this clear. She's a friend of mine, so we talk all the time. She's a pickleball advocate. And so she demanded one day, she's like, I'm making you do this for therapy. I'm like, we're not talking about therapy right now. She's like, I'm making you do it anyway. She says, you gotta go play pickleball. So I gotta go play pickleball. What's the point? Gary Osborne said he had to go do fishing derbies. He said, I have to go do something fun. I have to laugh because you need to fill your tank. So you need to laugh. I'm gonna flip it, just watch your head. Ding! Dance, smile. Sing. Get on your knees. Pray in tongues. Declare. Get into the word. Laugh again. Be helpful. Forgive. Repent. Rejoice. Never stop praying. Be thankful. All these things are the keys to help you when you get knocked down to get back up. We can't wait. It's not about going, I'll get back up when my circumstances change. When David strengthened himself in the Lord, he got back up before anything had even changed. And I know, trust me, I know this is hard. I spent 4 months trying to figure this out with the Lord's help and a lot of people praying for me. But I had to learn to do these things that I did not want to do every day. I think I had 3 pages of declarations every day that I got up and I said. The first day, you would have laughed at me if you heard me, because I didn't believe anything I was reading. That's how it starts. That's why it's a declaration. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I actually read it enough till I believed it. And it's funny that my body started to respond to what I believed. And my chiropractor at the time that was trying to help me with some issues and some stretching and that, she said, you know, it's funny, our neurological system's really interesting. It's just like skin cells, they shed. And you have to reprogram your cells to begin to behave a certain way. And when the new one or the old ones die off and the new ones come in, you can reprogram them. It's just so funny that the scientists get it. I'm like, wow, we can reprogram our cells. We can reprogram our brains. Amen. Why don't you stand? Thank you, Becca. So by the way, bringing this right back to Proverbs, guard your heart. Because out of it spring the well springs of life. When you do these things on a regular basis, you are guarding your heart. When you forgive, you are guarding your heart. When you repent, you are guarding your heart. And all these things, when you do it on a regular basis, help the well springs of life flow out of you clear and healthy. So you can do life better, amen? And then the worst case scenario is when you have those moments that tear you down, you have tools in your toolkit to get back up with. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing across the earth. Lord, we thank you for today, the worship, the praise. We thank you that you came in here. Lord, we thank you for the last few weeks you've been building resilience in us. And Lord, we just put our expectations in you. We put our hope in you. We put our excitement in you. And we already, for Friday, we look forward to coming together and worshiping again with a loud voice. Because Lord, we know with you in our midst, everything can change. Lord, I pray that as we go home over the coming days, first of all, I pray today we would laugh. Lord, I pray every person in here would find a way, a moment to laugh. And Lord, I pray that we would celebrate life and celebrate each other and be thankful and be grateful. And over the coming days, whatever area that we have not grown in, Lord, would you begin to draw us into the Word of God? Would you begin to help us to read scripture that would renew our mind? Would you begin to help us even to praise at home? We just say we love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.